Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Wednesday night disciple night. It follows after my teaching at the Word of Life Church. I will not be teaching next Wednesday, so next Wednesday will be a full show here, 2 hours. And went really, really, really good tonight. It was the end of the Revelation teaching. And then next week I will start the Broken Hearted series. And they promoted it tonight. They were promoting it for everybody to come. So we should start off real good in May with Healing the Brokenhearted. And tonight we want to look at the discipleship, and I want to pick up with God as our Abba Father, because that is our foundation, our grounding, our relationship with God as our Abba Father. And Christ takes us to the Father, and you'll see that in Romans 8. But you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. And then in Galatians chapter 4, it says, but you've received the spirit of Christ, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So it's very important that we are free inside to have a full complete, that's the word, complete relationship with God as our Abba Father. And then with that, we can be filled with His love, and with His love, it completely overcomes fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So we strive to be perfect in God's love when there's no fear. So it is, folks, it is possible that we could have perfect love. And the test of it is that we have no fear. And we can always be tested by fear, folks. Things may happen, may come, some threatening situations, things like that. And as we are really mature in the Lord, we go through everything with no fear. So it is possible, because the word there tells us it is possible. And we can test ourselves, or we can be tested, let's say, by situations arising, no fear in us, because we have complete trust with God as our Abba Father, and that means love. The foundation of it is love. All right. So Abba Father appears twice in scriptures, actually three times. Twice in the Paul's teachings and once in Mark. So let's take a look here. Here's the big thing. Oh, it's working. I can get PowerPoint across. I had a bear of a time. Was it last night? Okay, so there we are. Abba Father is found three times in the Bible, used as the term of tender endearment by a beloved child in an affectionate, dependent relationship with the Father. In English, it's translated Daddy or Papa. So Daddy, Papa, usually is fading out around 10 years old, I'm going to say. Certainly by a teenage, like 13, it's Dad. It's usually Dad. By using the word Abba, Abba Father, it's telling us the relationship that God wants with us. So let's look here at Mark 14:36. And he said, Abba Father. Now this is the Lord Jesus before he went to the cross, just before he went to the cross. The night before he went to the cross. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So here at absolute, what would it be the word? Absolute testing of the Lord, stress on him. Because the Bible did say he sweat drops of blood because he knew what was coming the next day, and he referred to his Father in heaven as Abba, Abba. So that's how he operated on earth. When the Lord was on earth, he was with his Father in heaven as a dependent little child with his Father in heaven. And in fact, he says in scriptures, you know, I do the works like the Father sent me to do. And I, several times he said he was following, I do the will of my Father in heaven, you know. All right. Now we go with us. Romans 8:15 says, and because you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So as believers in Christ, when we come to him here, we come as little children. These two scriptures in Romans 8 in Galatians 4, says the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And the one in Romans talks about we receive the Spirit of adoption and whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So that crying is with emotion. It's not necessarily, you know, crying because you're upset or something wrong. That's not it. You're crying like out of joy and out of excitement and all. So that's the type of relation God wants with us. He wants the relationship that we are His little children and He is our Father. Tender relationship. Used as the term of tender endearment by a beloved child in an affectionate, dependent relationship with the Father. Oh, and there's the picture. Now, Sharon, I can't help but see that picture with me and my dad and think of you now. You are in my head when I see that picture with me and my dad there with the New York Yankee hat on.
Oh. Yeah, okay. There you go. And your grandpa?
Hang on, Sister Sharon, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say thank you for showing that. And I also enjoy the picture of Grandpa and you reading the book and everything. So, yeah, I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, that's the Bronx.
And you can see where your dad, your two boys in the picture, that you had the two boys on the outer edges remind me of your dad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be John and Ben.
Right.
Yeah. So there, and that clock, I pointed that out many times there.
Right.
That clock there with the picture of me and my grandfather, I inherited that. That's in that over my shoulder here. It's right up. It's up there. It's marble. He worked on back in the 1920s and 30s, maybe even before, in 40s.
Right.
Marble was used as like wall covering, and he worked on it. So that was scrap marble, and he put it together and made a clock out of it. So I have that.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that is awesome. Yeah, we have something similar to that at the orchard, you know, clock like that. Real heavy, and
I mean that is real heavy.
Yeah, but that's awesome that he made it out of scrap metal. I like that.
All right, and now these are the full verses about the Spirit of adoption, Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption. So the spirit of bondage and fear is the, notice fear, the word fear there. So bondage and fear go together. And the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, is like the opposite of it. It's like freedom. So in the old nature, with the sin nature, there's bondage and fear. Notice it says the spirit of bondage. I'm going to show you that in a few minutes, where that spirit of bondage comes from. Again, to fear. So they were free. The Romans were free from bondage, and fear goes along with it. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So the opposite of the spirit of bondage and fear is the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry with like joy and excitement, Abba, Father. But what a beautiful picture of the relationship that God wants with us. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. A tender relationship where we are His little children and He is our loving Father. Now we go back to Galatians 4:5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So the law couldn't set people free from the spirit of bondage and fear. But adoption could. That's because when we're adopted, we've got a new spirit within us. We've got the spirit, here in Galatians, it says of his son. So to read Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So one has to do with freeing us from the spirit of bondage to fear. And so we haven't received bondage and fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the other is under the law. So under the law, we didn't have sonship there, so we might receive the adoption of sons. So because we've become adopted sons of God, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So those two scriptures there, Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:5 and 6, are the scriptures that's the foundation for our relationship as the adopted sons of God. And we are, as adopted sons of God, we can cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Amazing, folks. And that's something to think about, because we could be the most terrible sinners ever, any of us, or maybe just a average sinner, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And when we come to Christ as our Savior, we then have direct access through the spirit of adoption to God as our Abba Father. There's no, what's the word? There's no, we're all equal. We're all equal. The worst sinner repents and receives Christ as Lord and Savior, confesses Christ as Lord and Savior, enters into the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Well, that's quite something to think of, folks. There's nothing preventing all of us. We all come as sinners, and we are able to live with God then as our cry, Abba, Father, with emotion. Now, I want to get to Matthew 18, but before I do that, I want to go a little more about the spirit of adoption there in Romans 8:15. So let me just scoot on up here. Well, it's not too far. All right. So Romans 8:13 says, well, maybe I'll back into that. Okay. This is really important teaching here. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, Romans 8:2. So Romans 8:1 through verse 15 is all one thought. It's all one teaching. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So Romans 8:2 tells us the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So there's a law, folks. This is like a spiritual law that in our realm here would be like the law of gravity. The law of gravity works 24/7, never ceases, never rests. It's always there. And if you violate the law of gravity, you could die. If someone thinks they can, you know, jump off a high building and they'll float down like a piece of paper or something, they're running into the law of gravity and they're going to die. So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, what we're talking about here, as God is our Abba Father, spirit of bondage and fear, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. This is all spiritual law, folks. And you got to operate in spiritual law just like you have to operate here in physical law. So let me read Romans 8:2. Well, it's short, but the whole thing together. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, when you go back to chapter 7, Paul is writing about being in bondage, and he was under the law of sin. And he said like he had given up hope under the law of sin. He was in bondage. So here it tells us that the bondage that we're in, because we're all one way or another, we were in bondage, is the law of sin and death. It is a law, folks. That's why we can't defeat it without the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So how do we deal with bondage? Now, Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So let's change it around a little. For you have not received the spirit we have not received the law of sin and death again to fear. The law of sin and death the fear, bondage and fear operates under the law of sin and death. It functions in us like a spiritual law. And what defeats this spiritual law of sin and death, bondage and fear? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, what I want to stress with this is we can easily drift from the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We can easily drift from that into a powerless form of Christianity, because today we have what I call a lot of self-helps. So 8 steps to this, 10 steps to that, 12 steps to this. And it sounds good. It's got a lot of Christian, we'll say, terminology to it. Some of it is actually very good, like forgive, let's say, repent. Okay. That's along the lines of leading into operating under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But, if we don't operate under God's law, it's ultimately going to fail, because what we're up against is the law of sin and death. So the way we handle this is, let me go back and look at Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit, now here it is, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So we have to put to death the law of sin and death operating in us, because it's a law. It's a spiritual law and we have to apply the higher law, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And here it's telling us to put to death by the Spirit of God, to mortify these sins, this whatever it is, the spirit of bondage, again unto fear. It has to be put to death by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, working, I would say, through the name of Jesus Christ. So mortify means to put to death. And it's the same as, although today, mortify actually means to be greatly embarrassed. I don't know how it got to be meaning death to embarrassed, but it has. But mortify is in the same family of words as mortuary, morgue, mortician, all connected with death. So that's how we get the victory. That's the higher law. That's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, invoking the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if it's not the Holy Spirit that does it, then there'll be no permanent victory. There can be maybe temporary relief and things like that, but no permanent victory. Let's go back and look at that once more. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. See, free. If the Son therefore should set you free, you're free indeed. So all of these people that are in bondage to depression, anxiety, loneliness, rejection, maybe alcohol, drugs, they need to operate, to come under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, to destroy the law of sin and death operating in them. So let's take Romans 8:2, and we read 8:13, and let's go to Romans 8:15. We have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have not received the law of sin and death again. But you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But you have received the spirit of adoption under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's how we have to see things, folks. We need to see that we're operating under God's word and not like things that sound like God's word. I don't think there is many today as there was years ago of, I call them self-helps. At least I'm not aware of them, folks. But there was a lot of, you do this, people are in terrible bondage, and you do this, that, and this and that, 5 steps, 8 steps, 12 steps. And they weren't operating, again, like I said, it could involve repentance, excellent. It could involve, that's like the major step towards coming under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It could mean forgiveness, excellent. But it has to follow through with dealing with it, just like Romans 8:13 said, that bondage must be put to death by the Spirit of God. That's where the true victory comes from. And the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, they're all the same. They all interact. So I look at it as the law of the resurrection power. The resurrection power. So people that are suffering from bondage, they need the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ flowing through people, freeing them from bondage. And that's where healing the broken heart comes in, freeing the minds comes in. That's breaking oppression of the devil over people. That's all operating under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that's all part of receiving the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So that's very important to keep in mind, folks. Not self-helps, not psychology, things like that. But we minister under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Go right after whatever it is operating under the law of sin and death. Whatever it is that's causing the spirit of a bondage to fear, we have spiritual laws against it. Mortifying by the Holy Spirit, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that's all the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the more we realize that, and the more we maybe pray along those lines, and the more we minister under those lines, great things happen, folks. Great things. As we apply God's law to these spiritual problems. All right. Well, let me ask. Does anyone have any questions about that? Paula Jean, I'm unmuting you. Let's see. Sister Rita's here.
And Gigi and Randy.
Oh, yeah. Gigi and Randy are here also. Yes. I can tell by the colors. So do you have any questions, Rita, Sister Rita?
No, I don't. I don't. Yeah. I was okay. Blessed by the teaching, though. Thank you.
Yeah, so we need to think in those terms. I'm going to minister to someone. I'm going to pray for someone under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You know? That has to be our mindset. That's where the power is. That's where the power is for delivering people, setting them free, you know, helping them, you know, through that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, with God as our Abba Father. Yeah, Gigi and Randy, any questions, comments? Suzanne? Hello, Suzanne. Wow. Is everybody muted or have they abandoned?
I do have a question, but
there you are. Hello.
Walking. I couldn't unmute because both my hands are full of stuff that I was carrying.
Okay.
I don't know if it's an exact question, but it's a comment about I really spent a lot of time during Holy Week and, you know, prior to that, reading John, the book of John, and towards that part where Jesus was, you know, in the courtyard, and then Peter denied.
Yes.
And I never noticed it before, but then you know, the next chapter, 21, is about Jesus is on the beach making the fish,
yes,
cooking the fish,
yes,
that kind of thing. But I had never noticed how the in chapter 20, there's the mention about the fire, the coal fire that had been burning. They had made a fire because it was cold, and Peter is there warming his hands. And so then the next chapter, there's a coal fire that Jesus made. And I feel as though possibly, you know, when Jesus is asking him three times if he loved him, but it's interesting that there's a fire in both settings. It's almost like he was replicating that to work at the healing of his broken heart, the shame and the brokenness that Peter felt. And that's part of the healing of the, he was remembering, you know, remembering about the fire standing there and denying Christ. And then, you know, Jesus makes a fire to feed him. I don't know. It kind of hit me that that's part of how the Lord does the healing. is through the memories of what we remember. And
yeah, very interesting. Very, very interesting.
To make it be that he was, that Jesus was there in both situations. And so I wanted to just ask you a question.
Sure.
You said about the fear thing, because I still struggle with it all the time, with anxiety about things, especially medical situations, you know, like health issues. So it's like, if somebody in your family was told they had cancer, are you saying that you wouldn't have a sense that wouldn't cause any kind of fear in you?
Well, Well, yes and no. I sound like a politician. Yes and no. It could cause fear. That's a sign that we need more of God's love in us. The fear.
Right. But that type of diagnosis is not a pleasant. I mean, I have a niece who's only 39 years old, and she's got like 6 months of chemotherapy, and then she has to have a double mastectomy, and then she has to have radiation. I don't know how you could go through all that and not have some fear.
Well, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear.
But
you grow into it. You grow into it.
But I'm just saying, I would never fault somebody if they were feeling anxious about what they were having to go through, because that just seems, how could you just say, oh, it's no big deal. It's just nothing.
No. That's not what you say. That's not what you think. It is a big deal. God is bigger than it, and that we can grow spiritually so that God's love in us is greater than the fear of cancer. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Hold on, Sharon. Yes.
What would you say to that? What would you say to a person like that who is going, and they're young, you know, and they couldn't, now they can't have children because they have to take the, I mean, it's a big trauma. And I don't know that somebody could walk through that lickety split with.
I didn't say that. I never said that. I said you grow into it. You grow into God's love, and you pray over the person, and you stay as close as you can. You help them. And I feel, I'll give you a perfect example. When my mother was dying, my mother was dying. I had my hand under her head, and she said she was feeling, I got anxiety, and I'm holding her like that. And I said, no. What happens is it's like going to sleep and waking up with Jesus. And let me pray that the love of Jesus will be greater. That's what I did. And she would calm right down. And then at the end, I had my hand under the back of her head, and she died.
I'm not saying that, you know, in that one moment in time, I'm just saying.
No, this wasn't the moment in time. This is over a period of days there.
Right. I mean, like my niece, we're talking every day suffering months and months of what not knowing. I'm just saying it doesn't mean that it can't happen, but I would say there'd be a big battle.
Yes.
Constantly fear.
Yes.
That you'd have to. So it's just, I don't know. It's just a hard
part
thing.
Part of it is the assurance that you have eternal life in heaven with Jesus, that when you pass, you'll go direct. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. That's part of it.
I think a lot of people, it's not the fear that they die. It's the dying process.
Yes, I agree with you. Absolutely.
And there are a lot of people that really have, there's a lot of suffering for some people with their dying process.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's all I was just wondering, is that peace would come. It's just a long journey. It could potentially be a very long battle journey, especially with medical systems having to face, you know, like, you don't like to have to go to the hospital or deal with I can't remember how you word it, the medical system, you know,
the Babylonian system,
right? The Babylonian system,
Babylonian
cancer like that, you're dealing with that system and the unknown of all that. I'm just,
but God's greater than all that.
Right.
That's God's greater than all that, you know?
Right.
So,
but that
yes.
doesn't mean you don't feel, that doesn't mean a person wouldn't feel, you know, anxiety. And, But thank you.
There's some things are very hard in life, very, very hard. I didn't know the Lord. And I'm not sure if my grandfather did, but I watched him die of cancer over a period of time. And I would not wish that on my worst enemy.
Right.
I would not. What I witnessed as a kid with my grandfather. So I wish at that time I knew the Lord, and I didn't know the Lord. I was, 17? Maybe 18, and I didn't know the Lord till I was 26. So that's one thing I wish I could go back, like, in time and work with him like that when he was dying. But yes, it's really bad. It can be really, really bad. All right, Sister Ola Jean, do you have any questions? Uh-oh. What do you think, Sister Shannon? She's fallen asleep again. That's what happened.
She did. Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah. She's tired. That's okay. All right. All right, so, Paula Jean.
Yeah. Can I tell you about my sister right now? She's the oldest sibling of the family. And she's the one that's been having to work through having breast cancer, and they just decided that she was free from all the cancer. She had all the chemo and stuff. They're still going to do a minor surgery on the 2nd and stuff. And, you know, I was all nervous because this is my older sister. It's that was my sister. And just getting through this, you know, with her and everything. And today, she said something that was so encouraging, and I can't remember her exact words, but she put the whole thing in God's hands. And that is one of the first times I've ever heard her talk about her depending and her faith in God and stuff. And even though she grew up in the same house that I did, this was one of the very first times. And it put me at ease. It gave me a peace that I needed, and so that I could help her move forward and stuff too. So
very good.
That's what I want.
Very good. Very good. Well, I want to end with who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And when we look at Matthew 18, verse 1, there the disciples asked the Lord, because he was talking a lot about the kingdom of heaven. So the natural question is, who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So let's look at, let me see if I got that there. I do not have it. Let me get it. Here we go. So we're looking at little children now here in the spirit of adoption. Who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Matthew 18, 1. At the same time, the disciples, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus answered, verse 2, and called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now, a little child, that is 3-4 years old. So what the Lord is doing is he's using this child as an object lesson, an object lesson. Verse 3, and said, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the converted is no problem, except you be converted. But then the Lord goes beyond that and says, and become as little children. So it doesn't say be converted and through that conversion, you're a little child. It says, and become as little children. So there is a process. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So little become as little children is most important. Most important. So in heaven, now, God is looking for people that become as little children. That would be just like Galatians 6:4-6 and Romans 8:15, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Those he wants people to become as little children with a relationship with God as his Abba, Father. This shows how important this relationship is, folks. Our relationship with God is critical, and he, the creator of the universe, with the awesome power that he has as God, wants to have a relationship where we are his little children and he is our Abba Father. So that's the mindset we have to develop to be like the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the object lesson is the little child in the midst of the disciples. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever, therefore, now look at this, shall humble himself as this little child. But just think of the little child. He's completely, totally dependent upon his Abba Father. The little child, he can't work. He can't defend himself. He can't feed himself. He depends upon the age. He might not be able to clothe himself. Totally dependent. You could take that little child and go a short distance down the road, make a turn or two, and let the little child out, and could not find his way back home. Totally dependent. That's what God wants with us. He wants a relationship where he's interacting with us and we're totally dependent upon him. He is the creator of the universe. He knows what's best for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to protect us, just like an earthly father wants to do with his little child. So we can go off on our own and, let's say, buy a house without seeking God, without asking God's blessings, you know, pray about this. Should I buy the house or not? House looks good, a great price. And when I get to this, always, the example I have is a friend of mine that I work with, person at work, Tommy was his name. And, he bought a house in a subdivision. The subdivision wasn't a year old, brand new house. And, the neighbor, I don't know if it was next door, but a neighbor real close, all of a sudden one day, the kitchen cabinets fell off the wall. And turns out that the house was completely riddled with termites, completely. And like less than 1 year, they ate the house up to the point where structurally it wasn't sound, and the kitchen cabinets fell off the wall. So that house looked good. I mean, good price, everything the person may have wanted, but God knew there was termites there. So we seek him. We seek his blessings. And you know, like, let's say you really want to buy that house, your wife really wants to buy that house, and you have no peace. You have no peace. You don't buy it. You do not buy it. God is, you don't know that there's termites there, and the termites are going to eat that house up in a couple months. God, like I say, God knows it, so you don't do it. Same thing with vehicles. You know, you look at a really nice car and it doesn't have much mileage on it and all, and you think it's a good deal, but the engine is, they're selling it with thick oil in it to silence the noise of the engine. And God says, you know, again, takes your peace away. Or like, you like it and your wife says, I don't know about that car. There's something I don't like about it. I think the Lord's, you don't get the car. You know, you go by God's peace. Taking a job, taking a promotion on the job that causes you to move, who you should marry. You know, it's endless about seeking God, because step by step, he wants to bless us. So that's how we humble ourselves, by trusting God. Because, you know, like when I came to the Lord, I was 26 years old and I was on my own. So I had to learn how to trust him. I had to become as a little child. I didn't know that, folks. And I can remember reading this chapter here, and every time I would get to like verse 3 and 4, it would like, what does this mean? What? Become as little children. You know, I knew it wasn't physical. I mean, simple, like a little child. And in a sense, yes, in trust that God is going to bless you if you humble yourself and seek him on everything you do. Yes, he will. Now, this here could be preached once or twice a year from the pulpit, because I needed to hear this to understand that things were coming in my life, that God was tenderizing me, so to speak, to become as a little child and trust him, seek him. Pressure was coming on me, things like that. And it all, the end, it's all to humble myself to seek him. You know, I just didn't know that. And I had to learn it. So it's something for discipleship that should be preached from the pulpit or like taught in Sunday school. All believers should be made aware of this. God's goal for us in heaven is that he wants us to be like a little child and have a loving relationship with him as our Abba Father. Those are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It has nothing to do about ministry at all. It all has to do whatever you are, whatever you're doing, it's your relationship with him as a little child. That's what he's after. And that's real tender, folks, with the creator of the universe, this awesome power that he has. He wants this tender relationship with each one of us as an Abba Father. Okay, so I'm looking at the time. We're right, at closing time. I want to thank everybody for coming. Sister Rita, thank you. Sister Suzanne, I was thinking after I was talking to you, I think I'd like the whole group here to pray for this person. If you could tell us the first name, we'd like to come.
Oh, yes. She lives in Austin, and she's going to be doing some treatments in Houston. Her name is Monica.
Does she know the Lord as a Savior?
Yes, she does.
Monica.
Yeah. Of course, I'm in Houston, the Houston area. If it worked out, I mean, I would go and pray with her.
Right. I will find out the details of when they're going to be there. And she found out about it. I think it was maybe October. So, but obviously now she will not be able to have children or, I mean, she, and this has totally changed the course of humans, you know.
Yeah. Is she a believer in the Lord?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But,
all right.
But this was a cancer that is like one of those, what do they call them?
Turbo cancers?
It might have been. I mean, it was, Matt, it's amazingly awful. It's out of the blue kind of a thing. But anyway, yes. But her name is Monica. Yes.
All right. Father, we have Sister Monica before you, Lord. And it's a terrible situation health-wise. And Lord, I'm asking now in Jesus' name that the power of the Holy Spirit and your love is greater than this, Lord. And I'm asking that no matter what the situation is, that your love is going to be greater and she will have peace, Lord. That she will not live like in torment. That's what we're asking for. We're asking that your peace will flood her, Lord, will flood her so that she will not be in terror, Lord, and maybe have panic attacks. But she knows you as her Lord and Savior. So she's got the foundation there, Lord, to have to trust you like her Abba Father, Lord, and she'd be filled with your love. We thank you, Lord. And thank you that we can all pray for her now. And in Jesus' name we ask, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, Sister Suzanne. And then Sister Sharon, anything in closing?
Okay, just I'd like to, my older sister, Mary Jane, is having her cancer treatments, but everything seems to be going well. And of course, I just said that she testified as to knowing God and loving God and put it in God's hand and stuff. So her name is Mary Jane.
Mary Jane?
Yeah, Mary Jane.
Okay. So, Father, we have Mary Jane before you, Sharon's sister. And I'm asking, Lord, that you greatly comfort her, Lord. Greatly, greatly comfort you. She'll, as you comfort her, she'll grow closer and closer to you. No fear, Lord, that she will have assurance of great assurance. Give her the greater assurance of eternal life, Lord, with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And again, the great peace, Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall assure your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Great peace on her and great peace on Monica. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, Sister Sharon. And Paula Jean, are you there by any chance? Okay. All right. God bless everybody. Tomorrow morning, we have prayer at 10 a.m. Eastern for an hour. Then tomorrow night, we have Bible teaching, and I finished my teaching on the composite of the future for believers in Jesus Christ. So I think I would like to teach what I wasn't able to teach last night to finish it. It was a great blessing to the people tonight. They were greatly blessed. So, If you want to know what happens, I go into every aspect as the scripture reveals it. Christ coming to us, coming for us, and then what happens afterwards. So there's no guesswork. There's no wondering. The Bible gives us enough that we know what happens after Christ comes for us and we go to be in heaven with him. Well, God bless everybody. Thank you for coming. And hope to see you tomorrow night.
Amen. See you in the morning. Amen.
Looking for that blessed hope. and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For God so loved the world that he gave.